This morning, I debated on whether or not to go to a different text of Scripture rather than the one that is before us, Matthew chapter 6. But for the sake of continuity, we will look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6. Matthew 6. For our purposes this morning, we will read verses 1 through 8, or rather 1 through 6, but we will be camping out on verse 1 this morning. Matthew 6, beginning in verse 1, let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing on the reading and the preaching of His Word. God in heaven, we pray that Your Spirit would do the work. For our desires seek to plant, perhaps even water, I ask that You would give the increase. May Your Word be a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. And we pray that we might find much grace as we look to this, Your Word. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Jesus, preaching on the Sermon on the Mount, says this: "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Thus far, the reading of God's holy and inerrant word. You may be seated. You've heard of the classic Charles Dickens story, A Tale of Two Cities. I have a slightly different tale for you, one that perhaps reaches to our baser instincts. One might even say it might give you heartburn. I call it A Tale of Two Taco Bells. I bet no one's ever made a connection between Charles Dickens and Taco Bell before. Mark it as a first. The first Taco Bell I want you to consider is the one that we have here in Conway, right across from Conway High School. So you get a lot of students there, right? And of course, you have Planet Fitness right next door, so you can, you know, fuel your workouts, right? So here's our Taco Bell in Conway. You drive up to it. What do you see? You see a Taco Bell, right? You see, you know, the purple accents, you see the big bell emblem, of course, it spells out on the side, Taco Bell. You see elements in the building itself of you know, Southwestern style architecture, sandstone, stucco, modern touches with some of these newer ones. You drive up, what do you see? You see a Taco Bell. What do you expect going in? Now, I know there are many opinions on Taco Bell. I'm actually kind of partial to it, so don't look down on me for that, please. But it's Taco Bell. It's not bad, not necessarily good either. But what you see with our Taco Bell is what you get. But I want to tell you about another Taco Bell. Taco Bell is about 750 miles away in the city of Madison, Mississippi. Now, Madison, Mississippi is a very well-to-do area of the Jackson metro area. It's a good place to raise a family. But there's something unique about Madison, is that several years ago, there was a city ordinance passed that all the buildings had to meet a specific beautification code, including the Taco Bell. When you drive up to the Taco Bell at Madison, in Madison, Mississippi, you see Tuscan columns. You see brick. The whole building is brick. You see these wall sconces that give this nice, warm, decorative glow. You see, interestingly enough, you see on the very top a cupola, which is mostly seen on things like beach houses in New England. You walk in, you might hear Bach's double violin concerto playing. Yes, you might even expect, just looking from the outside, that you would come in and maybe there might be white tablecloths. You know, this seems like a very, very nice Taco Bell. But when you go to the menu, what do you see? You see that you can't get a steak quesadilla made with Japanese A5 filet mignon. You can't get freshly grated Manchego cheese from the finest sheep in all of Spain. No, what do you get? You get Taco Bell. With our Taco Bell, what you see is what you get. With the Taco Bell in Madison, Mississippi, what you see is not necessarily what you're going to get. In our text today, Jesus warns us of showy displays of righteousness. Beware of practicing your righteousness before others, he says. He warns us of hypocrisy a little bit later on. He uses that word. We saw that in verse 5. But really, this opening section of what flows from here, that this is one of his headings, as it were. He'll talk about giving. He'll talk about prayer in different ways, in different ways in which the scribes and the Pharisees like to practice their righteousness. Pretensively, performatively. And his main point here, and he's going to, as we go forward, we'll see that it works out in different examples that he gives, but his main point is this: righteousness is not performing acts for others to see, but it's serving the Lord with sincerity for His glory, not our own. In other words, he's warning us concerning performative piety. Performative piety. Acting like we are holy when we're really not. Acting like we are a fine dining experience on the outside, but we're just mushy beans on the inside. Performative piety. Let us again read verse 1. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Now, this is the verse that works, as I've said, as the theme verse for this section of Jesus' sermon. He warns us of performative piety, doing outward acts as a performance to impress others. Let's start by simply saying what Jesus does not mean here. He does not mean that we need to stop all outward manifestations of holiness, piety, and righteousness. No, actually, he's already said that it is good to live a life pleasing to God before others. Now, we see this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. After he said, be salt and be light, he says this: in the same way, let your light shine before others so that others may see your good works. He's called us to live openly godly lives. Is Jesus contradicting himself here? No, of course he's not. He's not saying, hey, live openly godly lives, but don't live openly godly lives. What is he saying instead? He is saying, get your aim correct. The aim is different between Matthew 5:16 and what we see in Matthew 6:1. What is the aim of Matthew 5:16? Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. The goal in Matthew 5:16 is letting our light shine so that others would see what we are doing and say, their God is amazing. the goal of the person that Jesus is describing in Matthew 6:1 is to glorify himself or herself. We know that we are only performatively pious when our goal is to be well thought of by others in how we live our lives. As we live our lives, as we seek to be a good Christian people, is our goal for our coworkers and our friends and our families to look at us and say, man, they have their heads screwed on straight. Man, they're really, really good people. I really appreciate that. Or is our goal in living the Christian life to live in such a way that when people come and say, you have it all lined out, why? And you say, because of Jesus Christ, you need to turn to Him. Whatever I have is not from me, it's from Christ. You need to turn to Christ. In other words, true piety lived out before the world is a piety that is evangelistic. Not a piety that soaks in the warmth of other people's approval. In college, I had a lot of friends. I went to a secular university, Mississippi State University, but there were tons of Christians on campus and tons of Christian groups and ministries on campus. One of the biggest campus ministries, I won't say which one it was, they sent out so many summer missionaries all over the world. I had friends who went to Nepal to work with the team to make contact with previously unreached people groups. That's some intense mission work. You would have others, perhaps, that would have to do the grueling work of being at Lake Tahoe in the middle of the summer. But generally, there were a lot of people who were doing legitimate ministry. You might spend 2 months in Nepal seeking to gain contact with these tribes, hiking the Himalayas. You might go to Africa with medical missions team for weeks to help provide services so that you can gain trust and share the gospel with those people. There was a lot of sincere Christians doing honest work, God-honoring work, but there was always this danger of performative piety. You would see this in social media. Yes, I'm so old, not old enough to where we had social media in college. So you had Facebook. Facebook was the big thing. Instagram wasn't even a thing at that point. But you would have someone who you knew went on a summer mission trip, usually. Say you'd have a girl whose Facebook profile picture would be changed to a picture of her. You know, she's got a ponytail with her hat, and what's next to her? This African child. Tattered clothes. Or a guy's picture who would be of him digging a water well with a shovel in the Amazon. And there he is with his shovel in his hand. He's all muddy and the well is dug. Yes, this is what I've done. Now, I'm not saying that all of these people have completely mixed up and wrong motives. Don't hear me say that. But there certainly is a danger there. What did that often communicate? I'm godly. I gave up my summer while you were at the beach. Look at where I've been for God. Look at what I've done for God. That may not have been their motive every single time, but it certainly reaped of what? Of performative piety. We must be mindful of our motives. True piety and performative piety oftentimes may look exactly the same. That's the danger. But as we seek to let our light shine before others, we must ask ourselves, am I doing this for Jesus or am I doing this to gain clout with people? Am I doing this to point others to Jesus or to point and say, look at me? Do I want God to be glorified or do I want me to be glorified? Am I pointing people to Jesus with my works and my words, or am I just trying to let my works do all the talking for me? Friends, if that happens, Jesus will get no glory. You will get all of it. Check your motives, beloved. The Christian life isn't a life lived to gain the respect of your neighbors, co-workers, families, friends. The Christian life is a life lived to the glory of God, meant to point your neighbors, co-workers, family, and friends to Christ. Beware, therefore, of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. Attached to this is a strong warning. Jesus says, if you do this, then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Now, I'm not saying here, and we could look a little bit farther into this more and more. For the sake of time, we will not, at least not right now. It will be coming up. What does Jesus mean by the Father giving rewards for something that you do? Well, notice that he's assuming that you have a Father in heaven already. You've received grace. What is he saying? I'm warning you not to live like the scribes and the Pharisees, not to live for your own glory. And friends, I know that as we live our lives and we try to live above board, try to live honest, godly lives, oftentimes it does become like this. It's all about me, about my actions, about keeping face. And this side of heaven, our motives will be mixed. Even when we give our whole selves to the Lord in service to Him, seeking that others might see Him, there is often time, that little sense of satisfaction that we get, that, and people are going to think good of me too. Our hearts are oftentimes going to be divided in this way. But I tell you this, beloved, there is grace for the performatively pious. There's grace for the performatively pious. For those who are putting on a show here this morning, there is grace for you in Jesus Christ. It's amazing to think that Jesus was not performatively pious. He came to an obscure place in Israel, Bethlehem. A town that may have only had one red light. He came to be the child by the Holy Spirit's secret work within the womb of the Virgin Mary. He came to be in a blue-collar working class home. He was a carpenter. When he started his ministry, he was still very obscure. And while people certainly did see his piety, it ordinarily resulted in them hating him, not praising him. He was not performatively pious as he accepted the judgment of men and the judgment of God upon the cross. He wasn't seeking his own glory. He was seeking the glory of his Father. Friends, this is our Savior who has lived a life of perfect piety, who grants us salvation through his perfectly pious life, who then works within us by His Spirit to wean us from the performance, that we in secret might live sincere lives to the glory of God. And yes, that's going to bleed over. People will notice. But it's only because of Christ and only because of His Spirit that we will ever say, don't look at me, look to God in Christ Jesus. Friends, are you doing that? Do we love to sing loud so that people will praise us? Do we love to pray eloquent prayers that people say, oh, he certainly can pray? I think of one of the godliest ministers that I know, one of the most sincere men. How just 5 minutes of his prayers can move your soul. And yet when you talk to him about it, he will say, I'm praying God's word. Look to God's word. Are we performing? If we are, the mask must be removed. If you seek living for your own glory, for the praise of men, there is no life in that. Turn to Christ. Plead with Him for your forgiveness. And knowing that you have nothing and are nothing apart from His Spirit at work in you, live a life to the glory of God as we pray together. God in heaven, guard us from being performatively pious. We pray that the work of your Spirit would grant us sincere hearts that want to love you and honor you and glorify you. Whatever praise we get, we pray that we would be quick to say, no, not glory to me, glory to God. Help us, we pray. We are performers, all of us, to some degree. Change us and mold us into those who, with sincerity of heart, seek to follow your ways with a heart that has been changed by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in His name that we pray. Amen.